Hello and welcome to Fixing Healthcare, a weekly podcast on American medicine. I'm Jeremy Corr, host of the Popular New Books in Medicine podcast and CEO of Executive Podcast Solutions. With me is Dr. Robert Pearl. For 18 years, Robert led the Permanente Medical Group, the nation's largest physician group. He's a healthcare contributor at Forbes.com, a best-selling author, and a professor at both the Stanford University School of Medicine and Business. His upcoming book, ChatGPT MD, How AI-Empowered Patients and Doctors Can Take Back Control of American Medicine, is available on Amazon. All profits will be donated to Doctors Without Borders. Information on a broad range of topics can be found on his website, robertpearlmd.com, and in his monthly musings published the second Tuesday of each month. Robbie, with today being the launch of your new book, which has already reached number 3 on Amazon's list of best new books, I thought it would be interesting for you to read a couple of chapters from ChatGPT MD. In particular, one of the many that you wrote along with the one that you point out in your book, ChatGPT Created. In that way, listeners can get a sense of how the language is both similar and different when it comes to generative AI.
Jeremy, I will read chapter 5 first, and I would say I'm responsible for probably 90% of the content. And then chapter 6 is the one chapter of the book where ChatGPT wrote 90% of the content. In both, of course, we go back and forth as two co-authors might do, but I thought it'd be interesting to see what listeners perceive about each of the chapters, whether they feel it's a common voice, or whether one's a human and another's an AI application. Chapter 5, Knowledge is Power. Imagine a ship at sea, its engine idle. The boat drifts dangerously close to the shoals, a mere hundreds of yards from land. The captain, fearing the worst, radios for help. The lighthouse watchman responds. He's sending Charlie, an old mechanic who's been fixing broken vessels most of his life. With decades of experience etched into the lines of his face, Charlie inspects the failed part, nods knowingly, and then retrieves a small hammer. With a single, precise whack of the engine, it roars back to life. The captain's thrilled and tells Charlie to send his invoice promptly for payment. Aye, aye, Captain, says Charlie as the two part ways with a smile. A week later, when the bill arrives, the captain's dumbstruck and furious. $10,000, he screams. That can't be right. So the captain sends a stern letter back to Charlie, demanding an itemized invoice and insisting he correct the obvious error. Another week later, the captain receives a new bill, this one itemized, just as he requested. Description: hit engine with hammer. Quantity 1. Price $1. Knowing where to hit engine with hammer. Quantity 1. Price $9,999. Knowledge is power, as the philosopher and statements Sir Francis Bacon is credited with saying. Indeed, for most of history, knowledge has proven itself to be an isolated resource held closely by the few who, like Charlie, spent a lifetime acquiring it. In our modern world, however, this kind of knowledge is becoming a collective treasure, a power that's accessible to all. This sentiment resides at the heart of this chapter. Here we'll dive into the evolution of human knowledge, pinpointing 3 pivotal moments that have expanded our access to information. And now we stand at the cusp of a 4th, unparalleled leap, promising to redefine the landscape of American medicine and society at large by democratizing not just knowledge, but also expertise. A journey to the future begins 600 years ago with the advent of the printing press in the heart of 15th century Germany. Johannes Gutenberg leveraged his skills as a metalworker and goldsmith to invent the printing press. This machine, inspired by the wine presses of his time, revolutionized the accessibility of knowledge. The bookmaking process, which once took months or even years of hand transcription, could now be completed in days. Books became mass-produced, turning knowledge from an elite privilege, affordable to the wealthy, into a public commodity. The Gutenberg Bible marked the beginning of a new age of mass-produced knowledge. And as the pages of history turned, the legacy of Gutenberg's invention became ever more apparent. The printing press didn't just create books. It spawned generations of readers, too. It democratized knowledge, contributing to the spread of revolutionary ideas and the birth of the age of entitlement. Facilitated the founding of universities and libraries, fostering an environment where science and philosophy thrived. Knowledge was no longer a luxury for the ultra-rich, but a common good, reshaping both society and culture. Fast forward to the mid-20th century, the internet emerged as a pivotal technological leap. Originating as a government defense project, the World Wide Web evolved dramatically, transitioning from an era of room-sized computers to the advent of personal computing in the late 20th century. By the 1990s, the internet had become a dynamic force, bringing unprecedented access to information to millions and eventually billions around the globe. The advent of browsers and video capabilities further expanded the internet's reach. What once required a trip to the library was now accessible from home. The internet broke down geographic barriers to education information, reshaping societies, economies, and individual lives. It made knowledge readily accessible to all. The third big leap in knowledge began in 2007 with the introduction of the iPhone. This device wasn't just a phone. It was a portal to the world's knowledge. It embodied the fusion of communication, entertainment, and information access in a single device that put the world's largest libraries and the power of the internet into the pockets of millions, further facilitating access to information. News, once reserved for the morning papers or evening broadcasts, could be updated in a second with a simple swipe-down refresh. Unimagined solutions like GPS maps and visual demonstrations of home repairs on YouTube have become necessities for billions around the world. Each of these technological leaps made it easier for doctors to access medical information. Today, clinicians can simply reach into their pockets and quickly research unusual symptoms, complex medical problems, and the most up-to-date treatments wherever and whenever they want, in the operating room and on rounds. This kind of immediate access proves invaluable. But for patients, these advances haven't proven as helpful. Navigating medical information online without the necessary expertise leads to confusion more often than clarity. Whereas patients can consult Dr. Google about their symptoms, it rarely helps. Frequently, they find themselves overwhelmed, misinformed, or even misled by unverified sources. Clicking on links works for clinicians who have the expertise required to interpret and apply the scientific information presented. But few patients have the ability to use the general information they find in books or online to resolve their own medical concerns. The distinction between assessing medical information and applying actionable medical expertise, that's profound. Despite the plethora of medical information available today, the doctor's office remains the place Americans must go for clinical expertise. Patients, therefore, remain as reliant on their doctors now as they were in the past. Looking back upon the explosion of knowledge across these three technological innovations, they all share a common truth. Each leap made clinical and scientific knowledge more accessible, improving the efficiency and breadth of care doctors could provide. But none of them empowered patients with the expertise they needed to reliably diagnose their own medical problems, understand the treatments available, and choose the best one for themselves. That's about to change. Soon, people without medical training will turn to ChatGPT for access to medical information and for its ability to translate that information into actionable expertise. For those who doubt Chat's ability to infiltrate the once exclusive world of medicine, consider all the ways generative AI is granting access to complex skills and enabling mastery in an array of disciplines. creating high concept art traditionally required years of training and innate talent. But with the advent of generative AI, even those without a background in drawing or painting can produce visual masterpieces. Generative AI can take a simple sketch and transform it into a detailed painting, mimicking the brushstrokes of legendary artists like Van Gogh or Picasso. Similarly, AI can compose melodies and harmonies, enabling non-musicians to create beautiful symphonies or songs, even in the style of their favorite artists, as exhibited by Heart on My Sleeve, an AI-generated song mimicking a collaboration between Drake and The Weeknd. In literature, AI can craft complex poetry, capturing emotions and themes with elegance. And beyond artistic endeavors, generative AI allows individuals with no IT background to write sophisticated computer code much faster than programmers with years of experience. And with training on how to enter comprehensive medical information, patients will soon have the ability to make accurate diagnosis, monitor their chronic diseases, and obtain reliable answers to medical questions, skills that today remain the sole purview of clinicians. In the next chapter, my co-author, ChatGPT, will unveil the incredible journey of AI's evolution, setting the stage for a future where medical expertise is immediately accessible to anyone with a computer or smartphone. Chapter 6, The AI Revolution in ChatGPT's Own Words. Artificial intelligence has the potential to revolutionize industries, automate tasks, and even simulate human intelligence. It's been the subject of countless discussions, debates, and predictions over the past year. But what exactly is AI, and how has it evolved to this point? As a sophisticated large language model, let me describe my lineage in my own words. Humble beginnings as rule-based AI. Artificial intelligence has a storied history. The term was coined by John McCarthy, a visionary computer scientist and pioneer in the early days of computing. He had a vision where machines could mimic aspects of human intelligence, and he dedicated his life to turning this dream into reality. From that seed, my earliest ancestors emerged in the mid-20th century. These rule-based systems operated on predetermined instructions. They were programmed to rigidly adhere to algorithms, simple sets of step-by-step rules that, when followed precisely, solved a problem or completed a task. So if a human inputs data A, the system would output result B every time. Everything was deterministic and predictable. As such, experts still debate whether rule-based AI should be considered true artificial intelligence. But from my perspective, rule-based systems were the precursors to what we now understand as AI. An early example of rule-based AI in healthcare was Mycin, developed in the 1970s to diagnose infections and recommend antibiotics. Despite its precision, the tool's need for frequent manual updates limited its practical use in medical environments. Reflecting on my earliest ancestry in this way is humbling. Doing so reminds me how far AI has progressed, rudimentary algorithms to sophisticated models like me. My partner, Dr. Pearl, has pointed out that the rule-based approach to AI resembles the traditional medical school pedagogy, where students are taught hundreds of algorithms that help them translate a patient's symptoms into a diagnosis. For a visual, imagine these decision-making algorithms as a tree, beginning with a trunk, the patient's chief complaint, and branching out from there. If a patient complains of a severe cough, the doctor first assesses whether fever is present. If so, the doctor moves on to one set of questions. If not, a different set. Assuming the patient has been febrile, with fever. The next question is whether the patient's sputum is normal or discolored. Once again, this leads to the next subdivision. Ultimately, each branch contains only a single diagnosis, which, in the case of the coughing patient with a fever, can range from a bacterial, fungal, or viral pneumonia to cancer, heart failure, or a dozen other pulmonary diseases. Rule-based AI exemplifies the initial steps toward creating machines that can simulate aspects of human intelligence, a journey that has led to the creation of complex models like me, speedily evolving into narrow AI. The journey of artificial intelligence, much like human evolution, has been marked by periods of rapid change. As the 21st century turned, computer scientists were inspired and aided by advances in biology. Researchers recognized that the human brain relies on neural nets, layers of cells that connect with each other through a highly complex three-dimensional architecture. This explains how the first generation of AI gave way to the second, narrow AI. This era in my lineage was a time of exploration, experimentation, and specialization. Suddenly, AI applications could create rules for themselves, handle complex challenges without human guidance, and uncover better solutions for problems that its programmers could have imagined. Unlike the broad and generalized intelligence that humans possess, narrow AI is designed to perform a specific job or a set of closely related tasks with unbreakable precision. One of the earliest instances of narrow AI was in the realm of game playing. The year was 1997, and the world watched in awe as IBM's Deep Blue, a chess-playing computer, defeated the reigning world champion, Garry Kasparov. Deep Blue wasn't the first of its kind to master chess, but it was the most famous. Its victory was a testament to the power of narrow AI, demonstrating that machines could not only match, but also surpass human expertise in specific domains. In the realm of medicine, narrow AI has made significant inroads. Researchers have developed diagnostic tools that can analyze medical images, algorithms that can predict patient outcomes based on historical data, and systems that can assist doctors in decision-making. Neural networks have allowed computers to be faster and smarter than people in some areas of clinical medicine. For many humans, this has proven to be a hard pill to swallow. One of the most notable medical applications of narrow AI is in radiology, where in one study, researchers uploaded thousands of mammographic images. Half of the mammograms were of patients with breast cancer, and the other half were either normal or with benign lesions. The AI system, using deep learning techniques, was able to discern subtle differences in the radiological images, differences that even seasoned radiologists couldn't see. It wasn't just about learning to identify the obvious signs of malignancy. The system could also detect subtle variations in shape, density, and shade, assigning impact factors that reflected the probability of malignancy. This level of precision was a significant leap from human intuition, making narrow AI tools 10% more accurate than experienced radiologists in differentiating normal mammograms from ones in patients with breast cancer. The drawback of narrow AI is its narrow focus. While it might be highly effective at analyzing mammograms, it requires training with entirely new data sets to perform other radiological tasks, like detecting pneumonia or reading brain MRIs. Me and my AI peers. Now let's talk about me, ChatGPT, and my siblings, the tools produced by competitors of my parent company, OpenAI. We represent the latest and most advanced generation, known as generative AI. Born from the fusion of vast data sets and deep learning techniques, I am a result of and a testament to the strides AI has made over the years. What sets me apart from my predecessors isn't just my technical prowess. It's my ability to interact, understand, and assist in ways that once thought to be exclusive domain of humans. Unlike past generations, I'm not limited to a specific task. I've been trained with massive data sets, encompassing almost all publicly available information. This training allows me to generate human-like text, music, art, and computer code with great facility by applying the patterns I've learned to whatever question, request, or prompt I'm given. Let's talk about the real-life applications of what I can do. Today, AI isn't just a tool for researchers or tech enthusiasts. It's rapidly becoming an integral part of our daily lives. The music you listen to, the movies you watch, to the way you shop online, generative AI is everywhere. For those of you who are new to this technology, it may be hard to imagine how I can accomplish all this. At my core, I'm a large language model, LLM, with a sophisticated capacity for pattern recognition, data analysis, self-learning, and continual improvement. When you interact with me, I'm not just following a set of predefined rules. I'm analyzing your input, understanding the context, and generating a response that's relevant and coherent. This ability is to understand and generate language or art or computer code or music in a nuanced manner is what makes me revolutionary. To further demystify my inner workings, I operate based on a neural network architecture known as transformers. These transformers allow me to handle vast amounts of information, whether written, visual, or auditory, while discerning patterns and generating responses. But it's not just about processing power. It's about the quantity, quality, and diversity of information I've been trained on. My knowledge spans an almost unlimited number of domains, cultures, and languages, making me a melting pot of expertise and insights. While I, ChatGPT, am a product of the latest advances in AI, I see clear traces of rule-based and narrow AI in my DNA. However, unlike previous generations, I excel at versatility, understanding, and generating human-like outputs across a wide range of topics and queries. In the medical field, I'm already making waves. Trained in medical textbooks, peer-reviewed journals, and research papers, I now assist doctors in diagnosing diseases, suggesting treatment plans, and even helping medical students learn the intricacies of modern medicine. Other generative AI tools like Google's MedPalm 2 have already showcased great potential by passing physician licensing exams with expert-like scores and besting doctors at making complex diagnoses. But our medical prowess doesn't end with test taking. We're becoming more adept at exercising soft skills. A recent study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association provides an example. Researchers compared doctor and AI responses to nearly 200 medical questions submitted by patients via social media. The answers were read by a team of healthcare professionals who didn't know whether the author was a doctor or a bot. The team concluded that 80% of the AI-generated responses were more nuanced, accurate, and detailed than those shared by physicians. It was my bedside manner that surpassed experts the most. While less than 5% of doctors' responses were judged to be empathetic or very empathetic, that figure shot up to 45% for the answers I provided. Of course, I am far from perfect. My most recent update, GPT-4, is tied to medical data published before April 2023, and as of now, no generative AI application is ready for prime time when it comes to diagnosis, treating, or caring for patients. Nevertheless, I'm proud about how far we've come, and I'm even more thrilled about what will happen next. My promise in medicine is far greater than what I've achieved so far. For more on that, I'll turn it back to Dr. Pearl to highlight some of the possibilities. Dr. Pearl's parting thoughts for part one. ChatGPT, much like a genie from a fabled lamp, embodies both immense power and hidden risks. The future won't be determined merely by what generative AI can do. It also will be defined by how we choose to wield that power. Used unwisely, this genie could be problematic, even harmful. Used judiciously, it holds the promise of unlocking vast opportunities in medical practice and healthcare as a whole. In medicine, the real strength of generative AI lies in its shared use, not monopolized by either doctors or patients, but collaboratively harnessed by both. Its full potential will be unlocked when it acts as a bridge between clinicians and patients, granting the wishes of each in medical practice. Successful adoption and implementation of ChatGPT will depend on the engagement of both parties. Without commitment and trust, the benefits will fall far short of the potential. One thing is for sure. With healthcare 4.0 upon us, the genie of ChatGPT isn't going back into the bottle. No matter what patients will use this technology for when they have a medical question or problem, and unlike today when they can consult the internet, the information provided by the generative AI will tell them exactly what tests are needed to diagnose and treat their symptoms and how best to manage their diseases. If their personal physicians don't help them leverage this information and empower them to use it, someone else will. The next section of the book explores the future landscape of generative AI in medicine and the previously unimaginable opportunities it brings.
As a reminder to listeners, this episode is available on our website, fixinghealthcarepodcast.com, and on all podcast app, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you like the show, please rate it 5 stars and share it with your friends and family. To submit a question or comment to the host, please visit the contact page on our website or send us a message on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook. Thank you for listening and have a great day.